This article is brought to you by the best-selling book Say Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How to track your own feedback progress using the 60-day practice plan. A practical system for measuring how far your feedback skills have come. In short, after reading this, you will know how to track your own feedback progress using a structured 60-day practice plan you can start immediately. Keep a daily conversation log with specific reflection prompts. Run weekly and phase reviews to measure real growth, not just good intentions. Use the SBY method as your measurable feedback standard throughout the plan. Definition: track feedback progress means systematically recording, reviewing, and measuring how your ability to give and receive constructive feedback improves over time, using structured daily logs, weekly reflections, and phased reviews to build lasting communication skills. You gave feedback last Tuesday. You thought it went reasonably well, but by Friday, you were not sure the other person had actually heard you. Nothing changed. You could not remember exactly what you said, so you could not figure out what to fix. That is the quiet frustration that follows most feedback attempts. No record, no measure, no way to improve. The deeper problem is not that people give bad feedback. It is that they give feedback and then forget it ever happened. There is no system to capture what worked, what landed poorly, or what was left unsaid. Without that system, you repeat the same patterns, sometimes for years. You feel like you're trying without ever quite knowing what you're working toward. In this guide, you will get a clear, practical process to track feedback progress that you can use immediately, grounded in the 60-day practice plan I introduce and Say It Right Every Time. If you're still unsure what feedback skills mean in practice, start with the fundamentals before you add a tracking system on top. Why building feedback skills is harder than it looks. You already know feedback matters. The gap between knowing that and actually delivering it well and improving consistently is where most people lie for years. Here is what makes building strong feedback skills genuinely difficult. You have no baseline. Most people have never measured their own feedback delivery, so they cannot tell whether they're improving or simply repeating comfortable habits with more confidence. The discomfort feels like failure. When a feedback conversation goes awkwardly, it is tempting to conclude you're bad at this, rather than recognizing that discomfort is simply part of the learning curve. I spent years mistaking anxiety for incompetence. You only practice in high-stakes moments. Most people reserve feedback for formal reviews or serious problems, which means they are attempting their hardest conversations without any low-stakes practice behind them. There's no feedback on your feedback. The person you spoke to really tells you how your delivery landed. You are left guessing, which means your self-assessment is often wrong. Progress is not linear. Some weeks you will feel like you have turned a corner. Others will feel like you have gone backwards. Without a tracking system, the bad weeks feel like evidence that nothing is working. The goal is not to eliminate these difficulties. It is to build a system that works in spite of them. The foundation. What you need before you start. Before you begin, there are three things that need to be clear. Number one, a measurable feedback standard. You need a structure that makes your feedback consistent and comparable across conversations. Throughout this plan, I recommend using the SBI method from Chapter 15 of Say It Right Every Time. Situation, behavior, impact. When every piece of feedback you give follows this structure, you can actually measure whether your delivery is improving. Without a standard, tracking is guesswork. Number two, a dedicated log. This does not need to be elaborate. A notebook, a notes app, or a simple document will do. What matters is that it is consistent. You need one place where every feedback conversation is recorded, every reflection is written, and every review lives. Scattered notes in three places are as good as no notes at all. Number three, an honest commitment to discomfort. The plan works through practice, not through reading about practice. That means having conversations that feel awkward, writing reflections that are uncomfortable to read, and continuing when progress feels slow. As I note in Chapter 15, you do not need to get every conversation right. You just need to keep practicing. Get these right first. The steps that follow will not work without them. Step 1. Set your starting point. This step establishes where you actually are right now, not where you hope you are. Most people begin a new practice by jumping straight into action. That is understandable, but it costs you something important, a real baseline. Without it, you cannot measure genuine progress. You will have a feeling that things are better, but no evidence to stand on. Take 20 minutes before day one to complete an honest self-assessment. Think back over the last month and ask yourself these questions plainly. Write down the last three feedback conversations you had and rate your delivery on a scale of 1 to 10. Note what you avoided saying in each one and why. Identify one pattern that keeps showing up: vagueness, softening too much timing, defensiveness when receiving feedback. Record your default response when someone gives you feedback you did not expect. Name one type of feedback conversation you consistently avoid. Starting point example. A project manager named Claire sat down and realized she rated all three of her recent feedback conversations a 4 or 5. In each case, she had avoided naming the specific behavior. She had described the situation and gestured at their impact, but always softened the middle section. She now had something concrete to work on from day one, not a vague ambition to get better at feedback. This baseline is what you will return to at the end of 60 days. Keep it somewhere you can find it. Step 2. Build the daily log habit. The daily log is the engine of your progress. It turns each conversation into a learning event rather than a forgotten moment. At the end of each day during the 60-day plan, open your log and answer these 5 prompts from Chapter 15 of Say It Right Every Time. What did I practice today? What conversation did I have? What went well? What would I do differently? How do I feel about my progress? Write briefly and honestly. This is not a performance. It is a record. Set a consistent time each day, even 10 minutes before you close your laptop or just after dinner. Write in full sentences, not fragments. Fragments are too easy to skim past and too easy to rationalize. Note the specific words you used in a feedback exchange when you can remember them. Rate your delivery on the same 1 to 10 scale you used in your baseline. Record how that other person responded, even if you can only describe body language or tone. The goal is not a perfect score each day. The goal is an honest record. I have seen more growth come from people who wrote that was a 4, and here is why, than from people who rounded up to a 7 and moved on. This daily habit is where the compound effect begins. Small honest observations, repeated across 60 days, add up to something significant. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Step 3. Run your weekly review. Once a week, you zoom out from the daily log and look for patterns across the whole week. The daily log captures the raw material. The weekly review is where you actually learn from it. Without this second layer, you accumulate notes without extracting meaning. The review takes no more than 15 minutes, and it sharpens your focus for the week ahead. As I outline in Say It Right Every Time, the weekly review uses 4 questions. What was my biggest win this week? What was my biggest challenge? What did I learn? What will I focus on next week? Schedule the review for the same day and time each week, ideally a Friday afternoon or Sunday evening. Read through all 5 daily entries before answering the 4 weekly questions. Look for your average daily score and notice whether it moved up, down, or stayed flat. Identify the single feedback skill that gave you the most difficulty this week. Write one specific intention for the following week, not a general hope, but a concrete plan. Weekly review example. After reviewing his week, a team leader named Marcus noticed his daily scores averaged 5.2. He had rated himself highly on clarity, but low on receiving feedback without explaining himself. His intention for the following week used the scripted response "Thank you for telling me" from the plan every single time he received feedback, without adding a single word of justification. The weekly review keeps the practice deliberate rather than accidental. Step 4. Complete the phase review every 2 weeks. Every 2 weeks, you conduct a deeper review that looks at your growth across an entire phase of the plan. The daily log tells you what happened. The weekly review tells you what patterns are forming. The phase review tells you who you are becoming as a communicator. It operates at a different level of reflection, and it is where most people first notice real change. The phase review questions from Chapter 15 are: what skills did I develop in this phase? How have I grown as a communicator? What evidence do I have of my transformation? What do I need to work on in the next phase? Block 4 to 5 minutes for each phase review, 1 at day 15, 1 at day 30, 1 at day 45. Read through all your daily logs and weekly reviews before you write a single word. Look for at least 3 specific pieces of evidence that your feedback delivery has changed. Identify which part of the SBI method you are still struggling to deliver clearly. Write a short paragraph describing the feedback conversation you handled best this phase. This is with how 60-day practice plan can transform your team's synergy conversation culture becomes relevant. Your individual phase reviews feed directly into the culture of the team around you. The phase review is not about grading yourself. It is about seeing clearly so you can practice more intelligently in the phase ahead. Step 5. Move from low stakes to high stakes conversations. The 60-day plan is built on a deliberate progression. You earn the right to harder conversations to consistent practice on easier ones. This is the mistake most people make. They ignore the low stakes opportunities, waiting for the important conversation, and then wonder why they freeze or soften when it arrives. Real feedback skill is built on repetition across dozens of smaller exchanges, not on occasional attempts at the hard ones. This progression is central to how to give feedback that strengthens team synergy instead of breaking it. In the first 2 weeks, choose 1 low-stakes feedback conversation per day, a brief, specific observation to a colleague about something positive they did, structured using SBI. In weeks 3 and 4, introduce 1 piece of corrective feedback per week to someone you trust, using the full SBI structure. In weeks 5 and 6, take on the conversation you have been avoiding. You'll have evidence by now that you can handle it. After each high-stakes conversation, return to your log within the hour and write while the details are still fresh. Note specifically which part of SBI you delivered most cleanly and which part you rushed or skipped. High-stakes example. By day 35, Claire had practiced 14 low-stakes SBI exchanges with peers. When she finally gave direct corrective feedback to a senior colleague, she delivered all 3 elements clearly: the specific situation, the observable behaviour, and the business impact. Her score that day was an 8. She noted it was the first feedback conversation in her career where she had not walked away wondering if she had been too vague. Progress in feedback skill, like a tree in slow soil, grows through roots you cannot always see. Trust the progression. Step 6. Use the recover method when things go wrong. Not every feedback conversation will go well. Some will go badly. Your tracking system must account for recovery, not just success. I have made this mistake myself, treating a difficult conversation as evidence the plan is not working, rather than as part of the plan itself. In Say It Right Every Time, I introduce the recover method as a structured approach to repairing a conversation that has gone wrong. Using it, and logging your use of it, is itself a sign of growing skill. When a feedback conversation goes poorly, log it the same day, with the same honest detail you would give a success. Name specifically what went wrong: the wording, the timing, the tone, or the missing element of SBI. Identify whether the difficulty was in giving feedback or in receiving it. Write out what you would say differently if you could have the conversation again. If repair is possible, use the recover method and log that conversation separately. For teams navigating conflict as part of this process, how to handle conflict during meetings offers a practical companion guide. Recovery is not failure. It is the practice of mastery. Every log entry from a difficult conversation is worth more than 5 entries from conversations that went smoothly. Step 7. Complete the 60-day final review. On day 60, you return to your starting point and measure how far you've actually come. This review is the most important reflection of the entire plan. It is not a summary. It is a reckoning. The final review questions from Chapter 15 of Say It Right Every Time are: how am I different than I was 60 days ago? What conversations have I had that I could not have had before? What relationships have improved? What opportunities have opened up? What is my plan for continued growth? Read your baseline self-assessment from day 1 before you answer a single question. Compare your average daily scores across each 2-week phase. Look for the trend, not just the number. List 3 feedback conversations you had during the plan that you could not have managed on day 1. Identify the 1 skill that has improved most and the 1 that still needs the most work. Write a 2-sentence commitment to the specific practice you will carry forward beyond day 60. The compound effect, as I describe in Chapter 16, works because small consistent improvements do not merely add up, they multiply. 1% better each week becomes a fundamentally different communicator by the end of 2 months. The plan does not end on day 60. It becomes the foundation you build on. You can also use how to use the GROW method to turn team feedback into a synergy improvement plan as a natural extension of your final review. particularly if you're leading others through a similar process. Adapting this process for remote teams. Remote work creates specific challenges for tracking feedback progress, because most of the natural feedback moments happen in corridors, at desks, and in the brief conversations after a meeting ends. Those moments are mostly gone when your team is distributed. Replace informal feedback moments deliberately. In a remote context, you need to schedule what would otherwise happen organically. Build a standing 2-minute slot at the end of your weekly one-to-one specifically for one piece of SBVI feedback. It feels structured at first. Within a few weeks, it becomes natural. Your daily stand-up meetings are another consistent opportunity for brief, low-stakes observations. Use written feedback as practice material. Remote teams communicate heavily in writing, which gives you something most in-person environments do not: a record. Your Slack messages, email exchanges, and written performance notes are feedback you have already given. Review them weekly and apply the SBI framework retroactively. This builds your awareness of your own patterns faster than you might expect. Track your response time to received feedback. In remote work, there is a particular temptation to delay responding to feedback you receive because the asynchronous format makes delay feel invisible. Log how quickly you respond and whether your response is defensive or open. The scripted response "thank you for telling me" applies equally well in writing. Follow-up emails that reinforce accountability gives you a practical framework for making written feedback land with clarity and respect. The core process holds in any environment. Only the execution changes. Common mistakes to avoid. Let me tell you about the mistakes I see most often. I have made most of them myself. The mistake: logging only when the conversation went well. Why it happens. Difficult entries feel like admissions of failure rather than learning opportunities. What to do instead? Commit to logging every feedback conversation, especially the ones that went badly. Those entries hold the most useful information. The mistake: tracking effort instead of outcome. Why it happens. It is easy to feel good about writing in the log without asking whether your feedback delivery actually improved. What to do instead? Rate each conversation on a consistent scale and track whether the average moves over time. Effort without outcome is activity, not progress. The mistake: skipping the weekly review when the week felt fine. Why it happens. The review feels unnecessary when you have not had any obvious difficulties. What to do instead? The weeks that feel fine are often the ones hiding the most ingrained habits. Do the review regardless. A mistake: moving to high-stakes conversations before building low-stakes repetitions. Why it happens. The difficult conversation feels urgent, so people skip the foundation work. What to do instead? Hold yourself to the progression. Complete at least 10 low-stakes SBI exchanges before you take on the hard ones. The mistake: treating a poor score as evidence the plan is not working. Why it happens. Transformation is not linear, and a bad day can feel like proof of deeper failure. What to do instead? Look at the trend across a full phase, not a single day. As I write in Say It Right Every Time, every master has failed more times than beginners have tried. These are not character flaws. They are gaps in the system. Fix the system. Your practical checklist. Use this checklist before you begin and after each cycle. I have completed an honest baseline self-assessment before day one. I have chosen and set up a single dedicated log, either a notebook or a digital document. I've scheduled a consistent daily log time of 10 minutes or fewer. I know the SBI method well enough to apply it to my next conversation. I have identified my first low-stakes feedback opportunity for this week. I have scheduled my weekly review at a fixed time each week. I have set reminders for my day 15 and day 30 and day 45 phase reviews. I have written down the one feedback pattern I most need to change. I know my default response when receiving unexpected feedback and have a plan to change it. I have committed to logging every conversation, including the ones that go poorly. I have identified the high-stakes conversation I will work toward by week 5. I have scheduled my day 60 final review. If you cannot check most of these, that is your starting point. Summary and next steps. You now have a real system for tracking your own feedback progress, not a vague intention, but a structured process with daily logs, weekly reviews, phase check-ins, and a final review that shows you how far you've actually come. Start with an honest baseline. Know exactly where your feedback skills stand before day one. Log every conversation using the 5 daily prompts, including the difficult ones. Run a weekly review using the four structured questions to find the patterns your daily entries reveal. Complete a phase review every 2 weeks to measure real growth across a full cycle. Progress deliberately from low-stakes to high-stakes conversations, earning the harder ones through repetition. Use the recover method when things go wrong, and log that too. Finish with a 60-day final review that compares where you stand to where you started. The role of communication in meeting success offers a useful companion read if you want to extend this practice into the meetings, where feedback most often needs to happen. For teams working on feedback culture more broadly, how to give feedback that strengthens team synergy instead of breaking it gives you a team dimension of everything you've built individually. The full 60-day transformation plan, including all the reflection prompts and framework detail, lies in Chapter 15 of Say It Right Every Time. The only way to track feedback progress is to begin, stay honest, and keep going when the log does not look as good as you hoped. Frequently asked questions. How do you track feedback progress in the workplace? Track feedback progress by keeping a daily conversation log, running weekly reviews using structured prompts, and completing a phase review every 2 weeks. The SBI method gives your feedback a measurable structure, so you can assess whether your delivery is becoming clearer and more specific over time. What is the 60-day practice plan for feedback skills? The 60-day practice plan is a structured, daily practice program that builds feedback skills progressively over 2 months. You move from low-stakes to high-stakes conversations, logging your practice each day and reviewing your growth weekly to build lasting communication habits through consistent repetition. How long does it take to improve your feedback skills? Most people notice a meaningful shift in their feedback delivery within 4 to 6 weeks of consistent daily practice. The compound effect of small improvements adds up quickly. Real mastery, where feedback feels natural and confident rather than rehearsed, typically develops between week 6 and 10. How do you track feedback progress without a manager? Track your own feedback progress by maintaining a personal conversation log with end-of-day reflection prompts and weekly self-reviews. You do not need external validation to see growth. Your own records of what went well, what you changed, and how people responded are the most honest measure you have. What is the SBI method for giving feedback? The SBI method structures feedback around 3 elements: situation, behavior, and impact. You describe the specific situation, name the observable behavior, and explain its impact clearly and without judgment. This approach removes vagueness from your feedback and makes it far easier for the other person to hear and act on. Why is tracking your own communication growth important? Without tracking, most people mistake comfort for competence. You may feel better about giving feedback without actually improving your delivery or impact. A progress log forces you to measure real changes in how you prepare, deliver, and recover from feedback conversations, keeping you honest about where growth is actually happening. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblickthorne.com to get your copy.